God of the Word. Let's not add to it or take from it.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest, and unfortunately, our regularly scheduled guest is apparently not going to be showing up. He wanted to talk about the child abuse or children's services, and so often there are excesses with the children's services, and they'll take children away from families that they never should have. Unfortunately, this gentleman has had some very, very difficult times, and for whatever reason, apparently he's not going to be with us. So we're going to have open lines this evening, and I have absolutely nothing to talk about. So if you have a question or comment or something you'd like to talk about, let's go ahead and do it. But I was just thinking, you know, that if you study the history of the Second World War, certainly America's troops fought valiantly and bravely. And, of course, we were fighting for the four freedoms. We were fighting, of course, to defeat the Germans. We were fighting to defeat the Japanese. And we were fighting to make the world safe for democracy and to give people throughout the world the opportunity for freedom. And, of course, it was a wonderful idea. And that was the sort of propaganda that was put out. Our boys were fighting for freedom, and we won the war. And then, of course, in the immediate aftermath of the war, the Americans occupied the western part of Europe. The communists occupied the eastern part of Europe. And then, of course, why we suddenly find out that Eastern Europe has gone communist. Eastern Europe went communist. Literally every woman in Eastern Europe was raped, and I've talked to people who were there who witnessed the atrocities carried out by the communists. And not only that, but the communists were being financed by the American government. The American Treasury Department gave the communists who occupied Eastern Europe copies of the plates of the military occupation currency, which was being used in Western Europe, and that was also used in Eastern Europe. And then at the end of the occupation, why the United States actually had to redeem the currency printed by the communists, and what in the process, why what happened was that we paid for the Russian occupation of Eastern Europe. They stole all the factories and moved them to Russia. They took many of the young men and rounded them up and put them in cattle cars and took them to the gulag, where many of them died or aged very, very prematurely. I'll never forget. I was in Europe in 1953 to 55, and I'll never forget being told about one of my friends who had been at the train station. This was probably about 1954. And a young man who'd been taken away by the Russians to work in the gulag was returning home, and there were a lot of people there to meet him. But he was about 23 or 24 years old, and he looked like he was about 60. Terrible, terrible treatment of those people. But this was all condoned by the American State Department. And then in 1949... Why, of course, there was the battle between the nationalist Chinese and the communist Chinese. And the nationalists initially were winning. They had weapons. And then the American State Department put an embargo on the nationalist Chinese, so they couldn't get weapons anywhere in the world. Even the weapons they'd bought and paid for with their own money on Okinawa, they couldn't get. And without weapons, you can't fight a war. The communists were well armed by the Russians with the military supplies that we'd sent to Russia, and then the supplies that they'd gotten from the Japanese. And as a result, of course, the battle was all one-sided, and what happened was, of course, that the Chinese eventually took over mainland China. And people who studied this said, this is the program of the American State Department. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we're just having open lines. If you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're talking about what happened in China, the aftermath of the Second World War, when the American State Department did everything they could to bring the Chinese communists to power. The Chinese people didn't want communism. They wanted an opportunity to be free, and General Chiang Kai-shek certainly would have established a democratic government there in China and would have been, you know, a very, very effective leader. And I've talked to people who knew him, General Albert Wedemeyer. I spent several weekends with, and General Wedemeyer knew Chiang Kai-shek very well. And although certainly Chiang Kai-shek wasn't perfect, then what leader really is perfect? And of course, what happened was the American State Department did everything they could to bring the communists to power. And this caused a lot of people in the United States to say, well, there must be communists working in the State Department. There must be communists working in the State Department because they turned Eastern Europe over to the communists. They turned China over to the communists. But what everybody has missed is it was not the communists working in our State Department, although there were certainly some there. It was the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, this Anglo-American establishment. And if you really, of course, want to document this, you need to get a book titled Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. That's Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, written by Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, and Professor Quigley was one of the leading historians of the last century. And, of course, in his book, Tragedy and Hope, at the end of the chapter, and I don't remember the exact page, but it's the end of the chapter with page 952 in it, he tells you that a lot of foolish people thought that Eastern Europe and China went communist because of the communists at the New York Times and at Harvard University and working at our State Department, but that wasn't the truth at all. It was this Anglo-American establishment, which he identified as the Council on Foreign Relations, which was made up of these intellectuals, these elitists that were responsible for bringing communism to China, who were responsible for bringing communism to Eastern Europe. And what most people do not understand is these people have directed American foreign policy since the Second World War. Why? Because they want a world government, and they hate America. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do have our guest this evening. His name is Greg Pound. Let's go to Greg. Hi, Greg. How are you tonight?
Brother Stan, fine. I can say I'm doing fine, but I'm without my wife and kids now.
All right. Why don't you just start in and tell our listeners out across America, what happened to you? How it all started? You were married. You had five children?
I'm still married, and I still have five children, even though they've been taken from me. Me and my wife have been separated because she's hiding because they're trying to, the Gestapo here in Florida is trying to get our baby.
Well, all right, find out. Why don't you tell us what happened? What sort of work do you do?
Well, what my ministry has been, my tent-making thing is what I do is horticulture work. But my tent ministry has always been build strong families. I've worked with the AFA, the American Family, Bill Gothard's ministry, and building strong families.
Now you're coming then from a Christian point of view.
Yeah.
And were you doing this at the time when this came about? I mean, how did you actually support yourself and your family?
Well, that's what I did was ministry work.
Oh, you did a ministry, okay. Was it your own ministry or was it working for somebody else?
was basically my own ministry. I was working with men. I understood that as goes the man, so goes the family. As goes the man, so goes the nation.
All right, fine. So were you aware of the programs put forward by the child abuse, by the social services as far as families were concerned, and how many, many times these social service workers were breaking up families and destroying families? Were you aware of that before this happened to you?
Oh, yeah. But I was under the impression these people done something wrong. Oh. I was just under the impression, no matter what they said, I don't matter what you said, you've had to have done something wrong. They just can't come and take your kid.
All right, well, tell us then what happened. Wasn't one of your children bitten by a dog?
Yeah, one of my children got bit by a dog, which was an accident. And what was so unique about the accident was that I wasn't here. My other three kids weren't home. And what happens is my wife, my sister, my mother were here. As soon as that happened, they called 911. My daughter was taken and dealt with at the hospital and so forth. But whenever there's an accident with children in the state of Florida, they send out what they call a CPI agent, child protection investigator, for the sheriff's department.
All right.
This young lady, 25 years old, Megan Gallagher, comes out. She files a petition to take all her children from us.
On what basis?
Well, the basis was, one, a couple flags that went up. We homeschool. We don't smoke, drink, or do drugs. We don't have a television in our home. We didn't have immunizations for our children.
You didn't have immunization for the children. You didn't, and basically, of course, you're homeschooling the children because you don't trust the public schools. And what else was the basis of her filing this petition?
Well, the other basis was that she was going to get bonuses for this federal grant money of taking, stealing people's kids.
Well, now, wait a minute, but she didn't say that at all. I mean, you assume that because they do actually give many of these people bonuses for getting children away, but that was something that only became apparent later on. Isn't that the truth?
It came apparent 4 months later that she falsified 26 cases to other families to steal their kids, which is a third-degree felony, and it said in the newspaper, St. Pete Times, if the listeners want to go and archive this with the
same... Well, but they're not going to have a chance to. So you tell us what it says.
Well, it just says that she was arrested, which means she was booked in the county jail and charged with 26 cases of falsifying documentation for DCF, 71 counts of grand theft. Every one of those is a third-degree felony, which the minimum charge is 5 years. The minimum she should have done was 5 years per account. She received nothing. Nothing happened to this
girl. All right, this is the woman then who took away your children. And she, what did they do? Did they send the sheriff out to take your children away?
No, she came with the sheriff. She was a young girl with a steel rod in her tongue, what they call a pick, and black jet hair and stuff like that. She comes, I couldn't understand how this woman got the authority to come into with a sheriff officer, and the officer was like a dummy. He just did whatever this woman said. But what it is you need to understand there's things going on underneath this. That's just a surface problem. The root problem is that she was bringing in literally millions of dollars for every child that they would go out and confiscate.
No, wait a minute. Billions of dollars. I mean, are you sure it's millions of dollars, not thousands of dollars, or tens of thousands?
No, it adds up to millions. I mean,
get to be millions of dollars?
Well, because what it is, one of the agencies that babysits the kids is what they call Safe Children Coalition. Now, we filed a website called FreeOurKids.com. This website, where they show how these children are being tortured, burnt, beat up, stabbed, everything you can imagine done to little children, I documented that on a videotape called FreeOurKids.com, and they just lost their $78 million contract in Pinellas County, where I live, where Terry Schiavo was starved to death. There's a torture. There's something about Pinellas County where they like to torture people.
No, wait a minute. That's a pretty strong statement. Are you saying they're torturing children?
Yeah, just like Terry Schiavo. They went.
Well, no, but this is not Terry Schiavo. These are children. Terry Schiavo was starved to death there because, of course, her husband had already engaged in an illicit relationship with another woman and wanted to be able to make that legal. And he couldn't until Terry was dead. But that's an entirely different subject.
Well,
what do they do to the children when they take them? Do they place them in other homes or what?
when you watch the video of freeourkids.com and you see that little boy, how skinny he is, my daughter, she's 7 years old and only weighs 32 pounds. And they don't think there's nothing wrong with that. My daughter at 7 years old is weighing 32 pounds.
Well, where is she being kept at the present time?
She's being kept by the state. The state put her in a house where there's drugs, alcohol.
No, she's in a foster home where there's drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
All right, fine. And what about your boys?
I've got three girls, and I've got one boy, and I got one boy that my youngest child they haven't got because my wife took him and left, and she's been in hiding now for a year and 9 months.
Is she still in the state of Florida? She left Florida, or do we want to say?
We don't want to discuss that.
All right, fine. Anyway, she had to flee, or they would have taken your youngest child. How
right,
youngest,
and they have a warrant
child?
Out for her. They got what they call a pickup order to get the baby from her, and so they've got what they call a diligent search warrant.
Well, now, did you try to take the case to court and try to get a court hearing on the fact that they seized your children without any justification?
My court docket is 64 pages of how many times I've been to court. The court docket has been 64 times in the past 3 years of how many times I've been to court. And it just doesn't make a bit of sense. I wasn't home. The three kids weren't here. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't do drugs. We live in a clean 4-bedroom, 2-bath home in Largo, Florida. It's situated right between St. Petersburg and Clearwater, Florida. And it's just, we're right on the Gulf of Mexico. Beautiful place. But this is what they call the tropical illusion. It's kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. It was in a tropical place, but it was filled with wickedness.
All right. So what happened when you've gone to court to try to get your children back?
Well, when we went to court, and the first time I went, and they were dragging this lady out, and she was crying, "Why are you lying? Why are you lying? Why are you lying?" And I followed them out of the court, and I was watching now while they're dragging the lady out, and she was crying. And when I went in the court, and I couldn't understand why the state attorney was saying these lies and why the judge would not give us an opportunity to tell the truth. We just couldn't understand it at that time until we found out that there's a contract between the judge and the sheriff's department called cooperative agreements in order to get this federal grant money.
All right, fine. And so how much federal grant money is coming into the county there?
$125
million. And $125 million over how long a time?
Is that
over a period of a year?
Yeah, that's a year. That's a contract. That's what they call their cooperative agreement contract, and that's for the agency. The YMCA has a program called Safe Children Coalition. They babysit the kids. I don't know how the YMCA, called a Christian organization, has gotten involved with such with criminal activities, but the money that's being made and laundered is just unbelievable what people do for money. What the love of money, when Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil, you just take the D off the word devil and you have the word evil left. They're doing evil for money.
Craig, they're doing this all over the country. We get these similar stories all over the country. As this federal money is being put in, I never heard of it, you know, that many millions of dollars, but we've known that the federal government has been encouraging the efforts to break up families all across this country for a long period of time.
Well, understand what it is we have the contracts. We have the conclusive evidence, which is the contracts, that no one can deny these, because these are signed contracts. These people get involved in these contracts in order to protect themselves. And when you read these contracts, I got a man out of Alaska, Ralph Winterode, who is a legal researcher, and I've sent him contract after contract, and he's went through page after page documenting. And when you see the corruption, it's so corrupt that if any of your children, you had to take any of your children to the hospital for a bump, a bruise, or whatever, them children are going to be taken from the parents, or you send them to school that way. But in the care of the state, when they're placed with foster care, these children can be raped, beat up, anything can happen to them. in this hospital and the school are not required to file a abuse report on those children. They're not required. They can't do it even if they wanted to. The only ones that they can report abuse on, if your kid comes to school with a bump or a bruise, is on the parent. So they're separating the children from the parent, and they're getting big federal grant money, and I believe this money's coming in from the United Nations. The United Nations are pumping in the money.
Greg, now, can you prove that? Because the United Nations doesn't have any money. I mean, our government funds the United Nations. The United Nations doesn't fund our government. We're going to be right back here in just a moment. Greg, can you prove that the United Nations is doing this?
Yeah. The money they're pumping in is not the real money. It's just paper notes.
I know.
Federal notes that are worthless.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. That'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
or this is in a completely different set of laws. The purpose of the Child Protection Agency is to destroy families, to destroy children, and of course we've talked to families where the children have been psychologically and physically abused when they've been taken away, and nothing is ever done to protect those children. So certainly, who's going to protect the children from the child protective agencies? And then, of course, there is a lot of money. You get a lot of money from the federal government if they can take these children away and break up the families. And people say, this sort of thing could not happen in America, in our country. And the truth of the matter is, it could. Greg, do you have a website that you'd like to get out?
Yes, it's freeourkids.com.
FreeOurKids.com, and what will people find there?
Well, you're just going to find the evidence. It's like watching a movie, but a real movie that's a sad one, because you'll hear people standing there broken. I mean, you'll hear how the Gestapo is coming in and stealing people's kids, and you'll see what it's doing to people. How people don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know who to turn to. We're like in Babylon. We're like in Egypt in the slavery, and they're coming in and telling us we got to throw our kids in the Nile River, and we're just in big, big trouble because we have no law. We have no court system. We're now in a system where if they can steal your children, steal your property, put you in jail for doing nothing, I mean, you watch what they're doing. It's just criminal.
Well, Chris, the thing is that our listeners have to understand, this is a separate court system from the regular court system. And the judges there seem to have, in most instances, a very close working relationships with the Child Protection Agency. And, of course, as a result of that, you're not going to get a fair hearing. And I've heard this time and time and time again. And I've seen grown men weeping as they tell about what's happened to their children. It's hard to believe that this could be going on in America. But as long as the federal government is going to give massive amounts of money to local social service agencies for breaking up families and destroying the lives of children, this is going to continue. And it's because the government has the money that it can put out that these terrible things are happening. Well, Greg, have you gone to the newspaper? Have you got any help from the newspaper?
Well, I called St. Pete Times today because I'm running for sheriff in Pinellas County. And now I've been 3 years. They cannot believe that for 3 years I've been standing out in the court, in front of the courthouse, every day, for 3 years now, preaching my heart out and exposing the wickedness of the judges, Judge Fleming, Judge Beach, Judge Almer, Judge Gallen. Judge Gallen owns 150 houses just to cover up the money. These people are making millions of dollars in the industry of slavery. And this Judge Gallen terminated my rights on November 5th when he's a senior judge. And these people are, it's just unconceivable how greedy a person can become. And it's just a shame. And so as I stand out there every day, I call the St. Pete Times, and I'm trying right now, I need to give a press release on why I'm running for sheriff. And they are making it a living hell for me to even get the statement that I want to make so the people of Pinellas County can understand why I'm running for sheriff.
Now, have you actually filed to run for sheriff?
I filed. I'm on the Juvenile Justice Board here for Pinellas County, which is, I sit there with actually Jim Coates, Judge Fleming, and Bernie McCabe, the state attorney. These are the three. Everything in the juvenile court system is under seal. All these things that are happening to these children, nobody has access to the records. And this is how they have it in the states. It's all private. Nobody can see what's going on. They can do anything they want to these kids. And if you were to see my children and the abuse my children have went through, I mean, it's brought me down to my knees. It's brought me down. It's broken me inside. As I look at my little kids and I see my children, and I see how they beat them up. My son, none of my kids had any cavities. My son now has six big cavities, rotten teeth, under the care of these people. They've been to the doctors over 100 times. This is called Medicaid fraud. The doctors are making money. The lawyers are making money. The judges are making money. The guardian ad litem are making money. The guardian ad litem attorneys are making money. The whole system is capitalizing on little children.
Not right.
And they're putting them...
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Greg Pound, who's lost his four children and his wife is in hiding with a fifth. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Greg Pound, and Greg, of course, is totally dedicated to trying to get his children back. And what do they tell you about? Do they tell you, you know, if you just quit fighting them and do what they tell you to do, that they'll give you the children back? What restrictions are, what are the current situation as far as getting the children?
Well, Stan, we've already done all those things that they told us to do. But what they do is they drag it on. We've only seen our kids for 2 hours a month for 3 years, and then they terminated my rights. So now they're telling me I don't have any kids. So now what it is, this is going to be an all-out war. They're out to get me. They're out big time to get Greg Pound, and they want to lock me up in jail because I'm not backing up. I'm not giving up my kids. We have done nothing. We love our children, and I'm required by God to give my life for my wife and my children, and that's what I'm going to do. They're going to have to kill me before they can take my kids because I'm not backing up. I'm not going to do anything to them. They're going to have to do it to me. But I'm not going to shut my mouth. I'm not going to shut my mouth in the courthouse. I'm not going to shut my mouth before the county commissioners, before the city commission, before the city mayor and the city council. As I go before them every single time they're there, the school board, I'm exposing the internal corruption that they're doing to people and their kids for federal grant money. And when you watch that website and you see the hundreds of families that they're doing this to in one county, in one little county, but we've got 67 counties in Florida, and it's just, we've got 72 maximum security prisons filled to the max where they're locking the men up. Literally, we've got over 1,125 people going to jail a week in Pinellas County. We are a police state, and this state is policing the people so heavy that they're just oppressing the people. They're locking up the men, and the majority of the men that they're locking up are the only ones we got left that'll fight, and that's the black Afro-American men. The black Afro-American's the only one who's got the guts to fight for freedom because they know what it's like to be oppressed, and they're heavy on them. I mean, they're big time oppressing the Afro-American because he's the one that who'll lead the way in the fight. Because what happens is they know that they're the ones that will stand up against them. And what happens is we're in bad condition. The white male has become the white woman. The white woman has become the white man. And now the white man can't do anything. And the only ones we got left to fight is the Afro-American men, and they're locking them, filling the prisons with them.
Well, we have 7 million Americans in prison, probation, or parole today. And I would say a significant number of those are blacks. And that did not happen by accident, believe me, ladies and gentlemen. They knew exactly what they were doing. 7 million Americans in prison, probation, or parole. We'll be right back with Greg Pound. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is an unusual story. We haven't covered this for some time, but in past years, I've talked to many people who are in the same situation that Greg is, where you have these child protective agencies that are making a great deal of money from federal grants to break up families, to destroy the parents, and to destroy the children. And we've heard this story about the children certainly being mistreated sexually and exposed to all sorts of terrible things under certainly not well-fed, not well-cared for, many times put into homes of homosexual couples, or people with criminal backgrounds, and these are the foster parents who are looking after the children who came from normal homes. Only there was somebody from the Child Protective Services, and you will not get a fair trial in these courts. That's a great tragedy. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or a comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Greg, do you want to get your website out? And if you have any other information or means by which people can get hold of you, go ahead and put it out.
Yes, it's freeourkids.com. My phone number is 727-319-3705. And you'll also find
give that telephone number one more time, Greg, please.
727-319-3705.
All right. Now, of course, the thing is that apparently you're getting an awful lot of calls from people all across the country with similar problems.
Sure. I don't mind. I try to advise people to call me just one time. Make sure you leave your phone number. If I don't call you back in a week, call me back. And my job is to encourage and to build people up. Because my strength comes from the Lord. He's my strength. He's my buckler and my shield. He's my firm foundation that I can stand on. And what happens is they're not going to break me, because I get my strength from the Lord God. It's going to take a supernatural power for you to get through this kind of a torture and treatment of watching these people abuse your kids. And these people think it's just unbelievable to think that these people even have a conscience. But the problem is their conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. What they're doing is downright evil. These people aren't, to me, I don't know how they can do what they're doing, but what it is, it's because they're wicked and they're evil. And they feed off this stuff. And it's just, I mean, they like to see other people tortured, tormented. I mean, if they can do this to little children, and their conscience justifies it because they're getting money, see, they're paying these people good money. These case managers, majority of them are homosexuals and lesbians. They don't even have any children. These people who have our kids, we just don't understand how people who don't have kids are going to tell other people how to raise their kids. They don't even have any children. They're hiring these young people who don't even have children, fresh out of college, and they're out there confiscating people's kids. When you have little children, my kids, I got five kids. These kids climb up things, jump off things. They get bruises, bumps, but that's not why they've taken our kids. They've taken our kids over an accidental dog bite. But that's not even the reason. The reason is because the case manager, Megan Gallagher, falsified 26 cases along with our case to bring in people, children, into the Department of Children and Family. They've taken all our money. I've had to sell almost everything I've owned just to keep paying the bills, the child support now that I got to pay them. They're telling me I have to pay child support for my kid that they've taken from me illegally, refusing to give me a right to a trial by jury. But it says in the Constitution that if I have something that's over $20, I have a right to a trial by jury. But they won't give me a right to a trial by jury for my five kids?
Well, of course, this is a separate system of justice or injustice. And, of course, the child protective system is a system that is designed where you lose automatically. And I've talked to lawyers in the past, and they just say they wouldn't even bother to go down there, take your money, because they know that the system is rigged against them. And that really is so unjust. And I understand your frustration, Greg, and I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to get this idea popularized, and unfortunately, most people get so frightened in the system, or get so discouraged in the system, they just sort of give up.
They do. I've watched it. I mean, I watch them break people. They're literally breaking them. If you watch the website, these people on that website, freeourkids.com, these parents are being broken. When you do everything they tell you to do, everything, whether it's costing you your job because they got you doing classes when you're supposed to be at work, you take all these classes and all this other stuff. They told me I had to go to a batterer's intervention class or domestic violence class. I said, why would I have to go to domestic violence class? I didn't bite my babies. Somebody's dog did. They said, well, because the judge said you have to. I said, okay, then I'll go to domestic violence class for a year. So I go there, and the guy says, you got to sign a paper here. You committed domestic violence. I said, I'm not here for domestic violence. I'm here over a dog bite. He said, well, it doesn't matter. You got to sign this paper saying you committed domestic violence. I said, I'm not signing no paper saying I committed domestic violence. I went back and forth to court like three, four times, and they tried to tell me I had to sign a paper saying I committed domestic violence. I said, I never committed domestic violence. I'm not here for domestic violence. I'm here because my daughter got bit by someone's dog and the judge ordered me because we refused to enter to sign this contract, this thing called a case plan. We said, we're not entering into no contract with the state. We're not signing some piece of paper saying if we don't fulfill this case plan that we lose our kids. We haven't done anything. But yet they said, no, it just goes on and on. And then they told me I had to get a psychological evaluation. So I went out and paid for a psychological evaluation. And then when I took it to court, they said, we can't receive this because it wasn't done by the court psychiatrist. I said, this man has a PhD in psychology. I said, he's as qualified as your court-provided psychologist. I said, no, but we need it done by the court psychologist. I said, no, we can't do that because I've already talked to 50 people that done it by your court psychologist, and your court psychologist said they're not fit to have children. And so I'm not going to do that. This man is a licensed PhD psychologist, and he's told you, I mean, he evaluated me, and he said, there's not a thing wrong with me. I passed the test. I did the test, the MMP or whatever the test is, and I came out squeaky clean. But they said, we can't take that. They said, if you got to do it the way we tell you, or you're not getting your kids back. They said, if you don't teach your kids this trash about homosexuality and all that stuff. I said, we'll see if I get my kids back or not. You are not God. I told the judge, I said, there's a God that judges. And you better beware of it because you're not going to get away with the evil you're doing. The attorney we had that we paid all this money to, she got shot in the head. Can you imagine this? The attorney, Stacy Plummer, you can go into St. Pete's Times and read this, Brother Stan. This attorney, Stacy Plummer, we hired, who was taking our money, who acted like she was defending me and my wife to get our kids back, while she was working with the state attorney, Cindy Annis, and the judge, Judge Fleming. And she was doing this to all these families. They had this. I'm in a court. There's all women. Women bailiffs, women judge, women state attorneys, women prosecuting attorneys. The whole system. I go in there, and it's like they're trying to crucify me. I said, listen. I said, me and my wife, we love one another, and we love our kids. I said, I don't know. I said, this stuff that's going on here is downright criminal. Because what you're doing, and all these women, they're lesbians. We've got a system now in America where I believe because the divorce situation, they've come in, divided up our families. Now people are filled with bitterness, and it says bitterness defiles. It says, how's that verse that goes that says, bitterness defiles people? And these people have been defiled by their bitterness. And instead of becoming better because of the bad choices they made, they become bitter.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Al, who's calling from Clear Lake. Hi, Al. How you doing?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. I'm listening to this gentleman's plea, and my heart goes out to him. I just read today in WorldNet Daily, the title of this particular article says, Mom Threatened with Jail for Teaching Kids at Home. Judge Gives Utah Woman One Day to Finish Enrollment.
In other words, they're trying to force you to put the children into government schools where they can be corrupted.
Well, they actually have put them in. In fact, she's enrolled them. Here's I'll just read this paragraph. But my main concern, like I said, is it maybe he should contact them, too. If they did an article on this, and we know it's millions of people that see WorldNet daily. So, and she says this. Well, everything fell apart in court today. I had to enroll my two oldest in public school. They start on Monday. If I didn't, the judge said that I would lose custody of my children. He threw out the plea, and we go to trial on January the 9th. I have no chance with this judge. He will find me guilty. He already has said so. So I will probably be spending some time in jail. Please pray for my children. She noted on the online form, connect, da da da, homeschool curriculum. She had used when the children were younger. So,
Al, it's so tragic because it's happening all across America. And because of the connivance of our local newspapers, usually the information is not getting out. Anything else you want to say, Al,
No, that was it.
All right, fine. And certainly my heart goes out to Gregory as well.
Thank you so much.
A telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And really, the story you're hearing tonight may sound rather bizarre, and people say this really couldn't happen in America. But unfortunately, it could happen in America because evil has taken over our nation. Certainly Gregory thinks these people are evil. I know these people are evil. We have this permeating every aspect of our society. We got an awful lot of good Christian people in America, but unfortunately they're usually not working in the Child Protection Agency, or they're not working in our court system, and of course very, very few of them are lawyers. We have a few good lawyers out there, but we have of course so many that are part of this program of organized evil. And believe me, there are tremendous amounts of money that are being given by the federal government to destroy families. The local grants, you get the children away from the families, you break them up, you get those kids into homes where they're living with homosexuals and subject to sexual perversion, and of course the government will give you all sorts of money. Well, go ahead, Greg.
Well, you know, talking about the school, they told us that our children would have to go to public school, that they would, my younger ones would have to be in the daycare, my wife would have to get a job, and I mean, it goes on and on, and we told them, we said, listen, I don't know where you're getting this idea from. My wife, she wants to stay at home with her kids and raise her kids. I mean, she's been to college, she's got an AA in Earlyhood Child Development, she was going to be a school teacher. When she got married, she decided she was going to just stay home and be a mother. She was a dental assistant in an all-children's medical facility for dental work, emergency dental work, and all that stuff. She wanted to stay home and raise her kids, and that's what she did. That's what we were doing. I was the provider. She was staying home. She loved being a mother. That's what she wanted to do. We loved our kids. We had a beautiful situation here.
Now, why didn't you just pick up and leave the county?
We couldn't. We would have. If I didn't know... I didn't realize it was like this. I didn't realize I was living in Sodom and Gomorrah and that the corruption was so bad here. When they got our kids, we couldn't get our... I mean, they came in the next day and took our kids.
Somebody has called in and talked about the grant papers that the social services write up. Are you acquainted with the term, the grant papers?
The grant papers.
All right. Somebody, a caller called, wanted to ask if Greg... had asked to see the grant papers that the social services write up. I don't know anything at all about it. You might just check it out. Let's go to Donna, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Donna. What part of Michigan are you in?
Southeast.
What part?
Southeast.
Southeast. Is that close to Flint or where?
Yeah.
All right, fine. So you're listening to us there on the local radio station?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment?
Well, yes, I had a comment, and my heart goes out to Greg as well as so many other parents who have been persecuted by the state and the government and the counties, too.
Right.
And one of the horrible things about this is that when it happens to you and you try to tell somebody that it hasn't happened to, they don't believe you.
Has it happened to you, Donna?
Very similar, to a lot of other people in this area. And when we get together, we find out that one thing seems to be in common is that a lot of people are Christians.
Right.
They want to raise their children as Christians.
And, of course, you have to understand there's a tremendous hatred of Christianity and of everything noble and fine and good and wholesome in our society. And these people would destroy it because they are, as Greg has said, these people are evil.
Mm-hmm.
And until people begin to recognize that there really is evil, there are people who worship a different God, and of course this permeates so much of the homosexual and lesbian movement, whether these people even know it or not, there's a spiritual component to this whole sexual perversion that's going on. And certainly, but the average individual cannot believe this goes on, but it does, and I'm so glad you called in. Anything else you wanted to say?
Donna, listen, I want to say that's the most frustrating problem I have is when you tell people what they have done and they don't, and they have a hard time. But listen, I have the charging documents of this woman, Megan Gallagher, 26 other families she's done this to. And when I try to explain to people, I get so frustrated because people, they say, okay, then I tell them what happened and they said, well, why did this happen? They don't understand it's happening because of money.
No, but even more than that, there really is evil. There really are
exactly.
People who want to destroy families. And when you understand that, it begins to make some sense. Otherwise, it really doesn't. because it's totally illogical. Why would anybody
right.
want to break up a good family and take children away from parents who love them? Why, they want to hurt the children. They want to hurt the families. And when you begin to understand that, it makes a lot more sense. Anything
yeah.
else you want to say, Donna, before we let you go?
Well, I'm just grateful that you are doing this program.
Well, this is why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and I'm so glad we got Greg on.
Donna, please pray for my family and all your friends. Please pray for my wife and my kids that we will prevail against this evil. Please.
Gladly.
And I would second that. Please pray for Greg. He's going to need all the strength he can get from the Lord, and the only thing that can sustain you when you're into something like that is the Lord.
We'll pay for each other.
Amen to that. Well, thank you very much, Donna. And appreciate your being with us. We'll be back in just a moment here. And we have Bruce calling from Spokane. And, of course, our guest is Greg Pound. His website is www.freeourkids.com. His telephone number is 727-319-3705. And we'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up this evening's program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Bruce calling from Spokane. Bruce, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I do have a comment. We had in Washington State in 1994 and 95, it was called the Wenatchee sex abuse case.
Yeah, we did a lot of programs on that. And
oh, all right. Well, it was quite similar to it, except it was sensationalized, and they arrested over 100 adults and pulled their children out of their family. It was all centered around a church, and all these were false accusations in virtually all the cases. It was just amazing what they did to those children. Took them out of state for basically psychological reprogramming. It was unbelievable in what happened.
Well, of course, but it involved, I mean, the judges, it involved all of the key people there in that county, and the only way that they could get any justice at all was to bring in a judge from outside the county, and we spent a number of programs, you know, talking to the minister who eventually got all these people out of prison. They were putting these people in prison for 30 years, you know, on trumped-up charges, and there were dozens of them.
That's what they're doing in Florida.
Oh, yes. Well, the thing is, you know, where is the punishment of the officials? They are
right.
the ones. That is the key. They have to be the ones. It's the people that are not behind bars that's the crime in this country.
Amen to that.
And they're all in power and all in authority, and they all wear black robes. Not all of them wear black robes, but they are many of them with black robes.
Well, fortunately, they did get a good guy with a black robe who was a judge from another county who came in and of course pointed out the corruption.
Yes,
but none of the criminals, the real criminals, and those were the judges and the, many
the
of the people working within the sheriff's department. I mean, they're good people there, but there were also some wicked people. And, of course, they got off scot-free.
Yes, they are. Yes, they did. But that should never be allowed.
We should actually get the minister back on again. Robbie, I think, was his name, as I remember. We had a good time with him.
It was a horrid event.
It was. Thank you so very much for calling, Bruce.
And good evening. Bye.
Right, bye-bye. And who do we have on the line here?
Anonymous.
Anonymous, okay.
I don't know who it is, but with what I'm going to say, it has to be anonymous.
Okay, fine.
In 1970, I was married, had a wife and daughter, and I was going to college, and my wife worked for a government agency, and a part-time minister that worked for the same government agency she was having an affair with. It was a minister, you know. And I went to one minister, and he said, well, at least she's trying to be close to God. She's with a minister.
Anonymous, we're out of time, but God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, there are so many stories out there that so many tragedies. But I'm so glad that Greg could be with us this evening. Greg, thanks so very much for being with us. And
Brother, thank you for having me on. Thank you.
And thank you for bringing this story out. And if you could give me a call off the air maybe tomorrow while we could line you up for one of our other programs, okay?
Thank you, sir.
God, bye-bye. Okay, fine. This has been Greg Pound. I hope you've enjoyed the program. And, well, if you can, enjoy something like this. But this is the reality of what we're really up against. And we need, of course, to get the information out, and we need to get responsible people elected. And you're not going to get responsible people elected unless you are involved. And if you're not involved, then you lose by default, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. So remember that you need to get good people in the sheriff's office and in the police department and in the social welfare department and the city councils and the county councils. You need to be involved, and if you can't find anybody else, then you ought to be running yourself. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day, almost 60 outlets every single week. That's shortwave, internet, satellite, and of course then the radio stations we have to buy time on, but it's an expensive proposition. And of course we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then how do you put this into perspective? Well, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. Incidentally, we do have a CD that's excellent, and if you'd be interested in getting 25 copies of that CD for $99, that's the CD, the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's an excellent tool that you can lend to others to try to get them to understand what's going on. So if you're interested in getting 25 copies of the Brotherhood of Darkness CD, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get my talk. It's called The Forbidden Secret. It comes with a syllabus. That's The Forbidden Secret. Get the talk, The Secret Behind the Secret. Get our talk on the spiritual warfare, and that, of course, would go with the book by Joanna Michelson entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil, because Joanna was a medium deeply involved in the occult in Mexico, where she was witnessed over 400 spiritual healings with a spiritual healer, a psychic surgeon, who could perform surgery on people with incurable illnesses and actually save their lives. An amazing, amazing story of one woman's journey of from the occult into a personal relationship with our Lord. We have the great book, The Hostage to the Devil, Hostages to the Devil, by Malachi Martin, and we recommend that along with his four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And Malachi was a Jesuit priest, and he'd been a confidant to Pope John Paul XXIII. An amazing story. So that's The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, and the book that goes with that, The Hostage to the Devil. We have a four-tape set on Aleister Crowley, certainly one of the most evil men in all of history. He was a Satanist. We have, certainly, our four-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret, which, of course, is to counter Rhonda Byrne's book and DVD, The Secret, which is sweeping not only the United States but the entire world, and introducing people to the Law of Attraction. And the Law of Attraction is supposed to bring you wealth and power and prominence and prosperity. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it will actually do that, but at the cost of your eternal soul. So what you need to do is watch listen to our four-tape or four-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret, and then please pray for America and pray for revival and pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment to finish up the next program. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and they're the views of our guest. And this evening our guest is Barry Shamez, and we're going to be talking about what's going on over in Israel. But before we do, you have to understand there's so many things going on that don't make sense. Why would the Israeli government be releasing terrorists? And, of course, a lot of these terrorists are people who've come into Israel there to kill Jews, and they were arrested. And yet, of course, after being in prison for a short period of time, they're being released by the Israeli government without anything in return. Israel's not getting their soldiers back who have been kidnapped. They simply release these terrorists, and sometimes 10 of them, 100 of them, 300 or 400, 500 of the terrorists are released. And this is happening repeatedly. Why would you release criminals who want to kill your own people? Why would the Israeli government be recently allowing 25 armored personnel carriers, brand new Russian armored personnel carriers, to be given to the PLO, the Fatah organization, which is a terrorist organization intent upon destroying Israel? Why now, of course, we find out that the European Union has released a tremendous amount of money, which is going to go to Fatah to help them establish their Palestinian state. But there is no way you're going to have a Palestinian state where the Palestinians are going to live in peace with the Israelis. There's too much hatred there. The Palestinians are dedicated to killing the Israelis and driving them into the sea. And no matter what you do and how many concessions you make, nothing is going to change. And with that as the background, Barry Shamez, who is a Jewish patriot who's living here in the United States because of the threats on his life when he was in Israel. Barry Shamez, you pick the story up and carry on from there.
Well, I'm not going to pick up this story exactly, but we can. I've simply got the notes of this week's atrocities, but I'm going to start with something a little different. I'm going to start with the moonshot. You ready for that?
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, the reason I'm going to start with it is I watched it on TV. It was a silly show. It was a list of the most memorable television moments. And I watched the first moonshot in 1969, July. And I hear from Houston, Neil is now descending the ladder. And that line, to me, it was a revelation that in NASA, as we see the astronaut coming down the ladder, they say that Neil is now descending the ladder.
Now, this is Neil Armstrong you're speaking of now.
Well, they were speaking of course.
Right.
I hear the music already.
I'll tell you when we're going to catch up. Go ahead.
All right. So we watched supposedly Neil Armstrong descending the ladder, and he jumps onto the ground, and he says the magic words, of course, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Well, who was filming this? You know what I mean? How come there was a camera on him descending the ladder?
Well, there are a lot of questions at all about that. Of course, when you know a little bit about Jack Parsons, who is in charge of all of this, and the occult background, there are a lot of people who question what really happened there with that moon landing. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, this one's a little tougher. Look, there was a TV camera, which I assumed It was Neil Armstrong holding the camera and watching as Buzz Aldrin went down the ladder. There was no other explanation. And somehow when Buzz goes down the ladder and steps on the moon, Armstrong says, "One giant leap for man, one giant step for man, one giant leap for mankind." So, well, that would have been the only possible explanation. But I heard NASA, the official NASA radio announcer, saying Neil is descending the ladder. Now, if Neil is descending the ladder, who is filming him descending the ladder? Okay, this was from a distance of, let's say, 5 or 6 feet, and we see him jump off the last rung of the ladder and makes a famous statement. Now, you got to understand that there was no way there was a camera on the moon watching him descend the ladder. Okay, that's a given. Now, the big question, of course, question number one is, who was filming this?
The cameraman, obviously.
Apparently. And, again, in my version, that Neil Armstrong comes down first, and then when Buzz Aldrin gets off the ladder, he says giant step and for man and all that stuff. But that's not the way NASA portrayed it. They said Neil is descending the ladder. Now, originally, you have to ask the big question, why would Neil Armstrong film Buzz Aldrin and then give the magic words about the leap for man if it was Buzz Aldrin taking the first step on the moon? It doesn't make sense. Obviously, Neil Armstrong would descend the ladder. There'd be no camera set up, and he would give those magic words. And, well, the option, of course, is that Buzz Aldrin was the one on the ladder when Neil Armstrong gave the magic quote. But that's not what NASA said. That's when it just hit me. Why was NASA saying Neil is descending the ladder? And this is not a small question, by the way. It sounds like it's a simple question, but it's not a simple question. The issue, of course, is that the other option is that Buzz Aldrin was the first man on the moon filming Neil Armstrong. I mean, that's the only option left.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Shamish, and he's just questioning how it could be that Neil Armstrong could be coming down the ladder and somebody's taking pictures of him, and then he gets down, and he hops onto the moon and says, one step for mankind, one step for man, a giant step for mankind.
One giant leap for mankind.
Okay, fine. So basically, there's been some serious questions about some of the things that we saw on those pictures there. Was it real? Well, there's some people who even question whether we really got to the moon. I've never got into that, but I do know that, for instance, that Jack Parsons, who really was in charge of NASA at the time, was deeply involved with the occult, and there were all sorts of occult implications in so much of what happened. And some of those pictures that we saw, the question is, were they really taken there on the moon? Some people said that they didn't. They were a little fuzzy, so they just redid them in the studio so to make them look better. I don't know what happened. Do you, Barry?
Well, I'm certainly giving one heck of a question.
All right, fine. Well, sometimes asking a question is a lot better than trying to come up with an answer, because a lot of these answers we don't have.
Well, I did see the Discovery Channel, Were We on the Moon, and there's no question about it. They used the same rover on the exact same moonscape for two separate missions, and there were extremely serious questions that were asked, and there was a debunking show which skipped all the real tough questions and answered the easy questions. Well, you know, how did we get a footprint on the moon when there is no atmosphere, that's no moisture, and that's easy. Put your hand in talcum powder and you'll get a footprint, a handprint anyways. But the reason I'm mentioning this Really very good question about who was filming Neil Armstrong is that I was the first to report on the Challenger explosion. And I left it out of my book, By the Gaza, because it didn't fit. I mean, no matter how, you couldn't make that fit into my theme of Bye-Bye Gaza, which was the end of the Jewish presence in the Gaza Strip. The Challenger explosion didn't fit. It just happened previous to the expulsion from Gaza, but there was an Israeli on the Challenger, and his name was Ilan Rimon. And this is very important for what I'm going to claim and what I already claimed. And this story just went everywhere. First of all, one of my secrets, by the way, is when something important happens, in my case, it's related to Israel, I just get out my story first. Now, the first thing I noted, Ilan Rimon was a very, very patriotic Israeli. And this was the first time that an Israeli had flown on the shuttle. And he was filmed on the Sabbath with the Kiddush cups and giving the blessing to the wine. It was very patriotic Israel. The whole country was watching this particular shuttle mission. And in my case, it was even more important because I lived in his town. He lived in a place called Maccabim, which is attached to Modi'in. It's a matter of walking, well, just simply over a field, a minute, and you're in Maccabim. And my children knew of children who knew his daughter. So the whole town was a gut-wrench like no other place. And in Israel, the whole country was watching this mission. Now, I'm going to bring up the first thing I noted after the Challenger exploded was NASA's formal statement about the explosion was that we don't know the cause, but it wasn't terrorism. Now, I just thought to myself, if you don't know the cause, how do you know that it wasn't terrorism? Okay, I mean that's not even profound thinking. If you don't know the cause, you don't know what it is, pure and simple. But that's the statement that NASA released, that we don't know what caused the explosion, but it wasn't terrorism. And that led me to the conclusion, well, then it was terrorism. You know, why else would you say it wasn't unless it was? Now, I just watched that awful day, and I saw things that were just absolutely wrong and absolutely spooky. Now, the first thing was where the Challenger exploded. It exploded over Bethlehem, Texas. And that's where it exploded. And I'm not making this up. Why should I? Number one, it explodes over Bethlehem. Not Bethlehem. I'm so sorry. I got that wrong. Palestine, Texas. It exploded over Palestine, Texas. That's where the explosion took place. And the next thing was they gave the latitude of Palestine, Texas as 33 degrees. That's the latitude, north, of course. That's the latitude of Palestine, Texas. And I'm thinking to myself, what are the odds of this? Okay, just straightforward that an Israeli for the first time is on the space shuttle, and the space shuttle explodes over Palestine, Texas, which happens to be at 33 degrees latitude.
All right, now tell me what the significance is of the 33 degree latitude.
Well, of course, that's the highest degree of Freemasonry.
All right, fine. That was my thought. I just wanted to know if we were thinking the same thing.
What else are we thinking about?
All right, fine. Go ahead.
Well, it's, of course, the 33. Look, there's an issue I'll bring up now. We may as well get it out of the way. Israel's latitude is from the 30th to the 33rd degree.
Right.
The 33rd degree begins in a place called Rosh Pina in the Galilee. And I'll tell you something. This issue of the degrees, the final degrees, 30 to 33, it's really very bothersome that there are also Israel's latitude degrees. This is also coincidence that I suspect strongly it's not so great a coincidence. Jerusalem is at 32 degrees. The Galilee begins at 33 degrees. So if we're talking about that, it's a separate issue, really, of the degrees of Freemasonry. But nonetheless, let's get back to the Challenger.
All right, fine.
The Challenger was exploded over Palestine, Texas, which happens to be on the 33rd degree latitude. Any listeners who have an atlas, go get the state of Texas, look up Palestine, and then look at the degree latitude. You're going to see it's the 33rd degree. And I just watched this, and I said, there's something very, very wrong with this scenario. The first Israeli goes up in space. It brings a tremendous morale victory to Israel. Israelis were very, very proud of Ilan Ramon. He was one of ours. He was our first astronaut in space. And I said, he gets exploded over Palestine, Texas. That's where it was, Palestine, which happens to be at the 33rd degree latitude. I said, I don't like this. And again, I'm not dealing with scientific fact here. I'm just dealing with coincidence that, well, is either divine or it's deliberate. You have a choice here. It's too good to be an accident. Now, when we talk about NASA's excuse, the first being that we don't know what caused the explosion, but it wasn't terrorism, why would you deny that? Okay, straight out. If you don't know what it was, then it could have been terrorism. Why would you deny that? And I started adding these up. Now, I did make a big fuss afterwards, because, frankly, whatever credibility I may have, I don't want to talk about the Challenger explosion too profoundly, because I still want to save Israel from the murderers of its prime ministers. But nonetheless, there was a spokesman for NASA who was saying outright that, now remember, they showed pictures immediately, by the way, they immediately showed pictures of the launch, and we saw tiles falling out. If you recall that, we saw one or two tiles falling out, and the spokesman for NASA, who was really the researcher, the head of the research department of the Challenger explosion, said from day one on, we always have tiles fall off on launch. It wasn't the tiles.
But of course, they tried to convince us it was the tiles. But I share your concern. Obviously, they convince us of a lot of things that aren't true. And so they attributing it to the tiles, well, they're the explanation, and we got to be so careful of the tiles. But the question is, what really did happen? Why did that? Why did the Challenger explode the way it did?
Well, the person who said it was the tiles quit his job the day before that became the official explanation.
Okay, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamish as we explore the background of the Challenger explosion. What really happened? Why would they deny it was terrorism but say, we don't know what it was, but it wasn't terrorism? Go ahead, Barry.
Well, I've got a very odd personal connection to the shuttle missions. My mother's name was Resnick. We have Resnicks all through our family. And we were told to be very, very proud because one of our third cousins from Cleveland was going to be an astronaut on the Columbia mission. Now, the Columbia mission was the other space shuttle that exploded, and we lost a third cousin. And as I said, Resnick is from my mother's side, and I was related to this, to Judy Resnick, the astronaut who blew up with the Columbia mission. Now, I'm not claiming they blew it up because there was a Jew on board. I am strongly suspicious that they blew up the Challenger because an Israeli was on board. Very, very suspicious that that's what happened. Now, as soon as I wrote this article, which went everywhere, I mean, look, the Internet is an amazing phenomenon, and there are so many people who won't give me credit, but they use my material afterwards. And I've never really understood why I don't deserve credit.
Well, of course, people like to take the credit unto themselves, but you go ahead.
Well, Richard Hoagland is a very famous student of NASA.
Right.
Do you know the man?
I've heard of his name, but I can't put too much. Go ahead. I don't know much about him.
He wrote me, as soon as I put out that article of my suspicions that Elon Ramon was in fact involved in a very ugly and sophisticated murder, I got an email from Richard Hoagland, and he said, you don't understand that NASA is really a Nazi organization. He said, without the Germans that were brought under Operation Paperclip, there was no space program, none whatsoever. And he wasn't talking about man not going to the moon. Richard Hoagland in those days wasn't. That's been in the last 5 years. It's caught on that there are tremendous gaps between what we were told and the films released by NASA. But what he said was that you're dealing with an organization that simply despises Israel for all it stands for and for all it is. And, well, I'm going to give you just one of our discussions. NASA was named the National Aeronautics and Space Administration in 1958. And, first of all, national what? Why was it the American Aeronautics and Space Administration? And for that matter, what's aeronautics got to do with this? It was the American Space Administration. That's it. Aeronautics had nothing to do with this. And national, it made no sense. What nation? And if you look at NASA, it's just the way the Nazis got their name into the space program. It's that simple.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Barry is bringing up the fact that space program originated with Wernher von Braun, who was a Nazi. He was a Nazi war criminal. He was never prosecuted. In fact, we brought over a lot of Nazi war criminals and let them work on our space program, and that was the basis of the space program. And certainly, we know that Jack Parsons, the Nazis were deeply involved in the occult. Jack Parsons, who really ran the space program for a long time, was deeply involved with the occult. Certain of the astronauts were deeply involved with the occult. Nobody ever wants to talk about it. Barry was talking about a man named Richard Hoagland, and I was searching my memory banks as we were talking. As I remember, Richard Hoagland has written rather extensively about some of the things up on Mars. I think I interviewed him one time. Oh, for the conspiracy conferences, I remember. And he's been on coast to coast. And Richard Hoagland is a person, I don't think he understands the world as I do, but certainly I think he's well motivated. He recognizes the occult forces which are working within our society. So with that as a background, you pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, NASA is simply the Nazi Space Administration. That's why the name is NASA. And this, by the way, again, we're not dealing with hard facts here, but we're dealing with a coincidence that has to be investigated. Why on earth do you have, instead of the National Socialists, which of course are the Nazis, why would you give the Space Administration a name with the first three letters of the National Socialists? And, well, what Richard told me, he said, you don't know how right you are. He said that NASA absolutely despises Israel, and for them to put an Israeli astronaut was a political move that they had no control over. They were forced to accept the Israeli because the government, the political side of the American administration, which pays for NASA, said you're going to put an Israeli in space. And by the way, this was all part of the peace program. When Israel signed the Oslo Accords in 1993, one of the so-called perks was we get an astronaut. If you can believe it, this is the truth, that it was President Clinton who promised the Israelis that they could have an astronaut for signing the Oslo Accords. And that was Ivan Ramon. Now, Ivan Ramon was a very proud Israeli astronaut, and apparently he was very well liked. But nonetheless, his Challenger space shuttle had a remarkable explosion. And I'm going to repeat this so it sinks in. There are, I don't know how many place names in America. I'm not sure how many latitudes the space shuttle can fly in and land on. Okay? But Palestine, Texas is one awful, awful place to explode for an Israeli astronaut. And as for the 33rd, there is significance there that most people will lose anyways. But this was some, in my opinion, this explosion was to get rid of an Israeli who had no place in space as far as somebody at NASA was concerned. Now, I'm going to repeat a lot. Before we go back to Israel itself, I'm going to repeat that there was in NASA a man who was spokesman for the investigation. And he, from day one until he quit, said that tiles could not have exploded that ship. And by the way, every rocket takeoff with a shuttle since then has shown tiles falling off. That's just one of the prices of being shook up by a rocket. The day before, NASA had decided that it was the falling tiles that caused the Challenger explosion, he quit. And we will never understand why. It's that simple. Okay, that's why I started the show with the business about Neil Armstrong and his giant leap for man and mankind. While he was descending the ladder, he could not have said that. Somebody somewhere held a camera, or else I'm going to say all over again, NASA fooled us by saying, and this is what caught me, I heard them say it, Neil is descending the ladder.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Barry Shamish, and go right ahead, Barry.
Now, I think we can safely get off this topic. All I can add is that when was it? About 4 years ago, when the Challenger exploded, I was the first one to ask the questions, why was an Israeli blown up over Palestine, Texas? And we'll leave it at that for now. Now we can go back to present-day Israel, which is, well, really having the same explosions. Look, I was looking at tapes, YouTube, say, of the rockets coming into Sderot. One every 3 hours for the last year, by the way. These are not simple instruments of destruction. When they hit, there is an enormous explosion.
Now, these are the rockets that are being fired from Gaza by the Hamas terrorist groups over there.
And right, the Qassams.
Right.
And they have much, much stronger rockets, which they're saving for the big day when Israel supposedly takes over the Gaza Strip again. Now, no country in the world, anywhere, would allow its cities to be bombarded by rockets. But I was watching rocket attacks from Sderot, and the children running for shelter, and the kindergartens, and the whole town lives under... And by the way, it's a daily attack. Don't even think that it's not a daily attack. You have every 3 hours a rocket or a mortar shot into Israel right now, and they're getting stronger, and they're soon going to be able to take over Beersheba and Ashkelon and make those cities suffer the same pain as Sderot. Now, there was an incursion this week. All of Israel, by the way, is asking why we don't just walk into the Gaza Strip and clear the place out of the rockets and stay as long as it's necessary to stay. Well, Israel tried something this week. There was the first incursion that I know about involving tanks going into the Gaza Strip, and this is not making news outside of Israel. And even in Israel, it's being played down. The Israeli tank force...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Barry Shamish. Well, Barry, before we get into more of what's going on in Gaza and the tank force, I want you to go ahead and get out your website and your telephone numbers if people want to get in touch with you.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. The website everyone knows about as the BarryChamishWebsite.com, but if you just write www.BarryChamish.com, you'll get to my site. And you will, by the way, in the archives section, find my articles about the Challenger explosion. Just go backwards through the site, and you'll find it. There's a very nice man in Hawaii. He has a site called Red Moon Rising. He's been archiving my stuff for years, and you just double-click that. And there's another nice site in the archives called Push Hamburger. One long word, pushandhamburger.com, and they've archived me for the last 6 years. So you'll find the Challenger stuff just by going backwards. Now, as for my books, you go to Lulu, www.lulu.com. By the way, if anyone has a book that they want published, you can contact me. Lulu will publish the book for free. I did this experiment when I first arrived in America, rushing from Israel and losing my printers. Lulu, you put it up there, and they'll split the profits with you 50-50 and not charge you a penny to put up your own book. So you go to lulu.com, and then you, at the top right-hand corner, it says search, and you write my name, Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. Now, you may write me. I haven't done this in a while, but I'd like to hear from people who want to hear from me. You go to Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H, at NetVision, one word, N-E-T-V-I-S-I-O-N, .net, N-E-T.I-L. Chamish at netvision.net.il. And finally, to order my DVDs, which are not on Lulu, one of them is Return of the Giants, which we spoke about last week in our fourth show on this very amazing subject. And the other is the Vatican's New Crusade for Jerusalem. You dial 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. I would be delighted to send them out to you. And now we go to that incursion into Gaza.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. And I think people have to understand that Gaza was a really part of Israel. There were settlers there, maybe about 10,000, something like that. And they were really forced to leave their homes and their farms. They had a lot of hothouses there. They were a major producer of fruit and vegetables for Israel. In fact, really for Europe as well. They did very, very skilled farmers, and they were forced to give up everything. But why would the Israeli government want to do that when they had to know that this would be used as a base for a firing of rockets and mortars into Israel? And yet they forcibly removed the settlers and then turned it over to the Hamas, or at least to the Palestinians. And of course Hamas took this over and is now using Gaza as a base for attacking Israel. So go ahead. What happened this last week?
Well, first question, do you have a copy of Bye Bye Gaza?
Yes, I do. You sent it to me.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I did not send Bye Bye Gaza. I'll send you a copy.
All right.
I ordered from Lulu. I gave a speech in Jacksonville. There's a couple spare. I'll get you a copy.
All right, fine. Would appreciate it.
Okay, it's on the way.
Okay.
And that's the book. Do you want to know what happened to Gaza? You go to Lulu.com and order Bye Bye Gaza. And you'll find that, well, 419 pages of absolute tragedy. Now, the IDF this week walked into Gaza with tanks. They actually had an attack force. They weren't in 1 kilometer, about 700 meters, yards, into Gaza when the Hamas blew up a tank. Now, that's a very serious issue. It happened last summer in Lebanon, where Israel lost 30 tanks. Israel didn't go in a mile, not even a mile, before one of its tanks was aflame. Now, the reports I've been getting from Israel says this was a very nasty, nasty burning of the tank, and helicopters were needed to save the crew. They were surrounded by small arms fire, and it was a real mess getting the crew out, and all of the crew were wounded. We were told it was smoke inhalation. We're not sure of the whole story yet, but the point is, if Israel doesn't attack Gaza with its air force and artillery, And that is going to kill a lot of Gazans. There's no way around that. But if Israel attacks with infantry, there are going to be thousands of Israeli dead. You couldn't even go the equivalent of 10 minutes tank ride into Gaza this week without seeing a tank explode from an RPG. Israel cannot fight Gaza unless it fights it the way a real war is fought. And that means your air force comes in first, followed by your artillery, and under a hail of artillery smashing the enemy, you send it in your infantry, and you send it in your tanks. Otherwise, Israel will lose. They will actually lose so many men, it will be the equivalent of a loss of war in Gaza. Now, what you got last summer was that Israel sent in no artillery, and on the last day of the war, Omar the idiot sent in tanks and infantry and lost 50 men and 30 tanks for no reason whatsoever.
Now you're speaking, of course, of the war in Lebanon, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, unless Israel fights Gaza like it fought the war in Lebanon with infantry for a change, Israel can't win the war in Gaza. And this, right now, Israel worldwide is so defamed for having the nerve to defend itself that this war, Israel will take a PR blast like nobody's business. But Israel could withstand that. There would be no problem taking a PR blast because the world is supporting the Palestinians. Did you know that last night there was, and you can cite Condoleezza Rice of the Council on Foreign Relations for raising from worldwide donors $2 billion for Mahmoud Abbas and the PLO.
And really, Mahmoud Abbas is a terrorist. There's no question. They keep trying to tell us he's a moderate. Maybe he's a moderate terrorist. He's still a terrorist.
Well, the point is that the Palestinians, whoever represents them, there's an understanding that Israel must be defeated. And even if it takes negotiating or it takes terrorism, Israel must be defeated. And they're winning, by the way. They're going to get their way. If you want to go into their strategy, they've got the whole world giving billions of dollars to them, and the Palestinians will win. And by the way, not only do they not deserve to win, the Israelis will lose because its own leadership has been so thoroughly corrupted that they're going to lead them to the loss. This is a complicated story. When you get my book, Bye Bye Gaza, please read it. You're not gonna get the story from anyone else, and we'll talk about that in depth. But the key of the issue once again is that Israel sent in for the first time, not deep in Gaza either. It isn't that deep, and it lost a tank within minutes, and that means, well, if you don't use the Air Force, Israel is going to lose the next war. And by the way, Bush is coming to Israel in, what is it, 2 weeks from now? Now, for the Israelis, here is a perfect time to show what they think of Bush. But there'll be no demonstrations or protests. But Bush is coming to Israel, and if I was there, I would be demonstrating and I would be protesting. Me personally, even if I was the only one there, I would have a big sign that says no to New World Order and do what I could. But it won't happen because the Israeli people are so apathetic today. No matter what's done to them, you can't get two people out for a rally to protest anything whatsoever. Now, how much time do we have now?
Well, we have approximately 15 minutes, 16 minutes.
Oh, we have lots of time.
Sure, we've got lots of time.
This is a very tough show in a way because without the commercials, I don't have that magic time to get my thoughts together. But I'm going to do this, and I'm looking at a very, very upsetting economic report on Israel. Now, what you're going to hear, you may not have heard, because there's a lot of propaganda out there that Israel has a thriving economy and its people are well off. Now, I live there, and I know for nobody I know got rich. I mean, it's absurd how much people lost by moving to Israel. When I see how much more money there is in America than Israel, and how easier, it's just easier to survive when there's money around. Now, here are the statistics for Israel. A survey was done, made it into an Israeli paper, business paper called Globes. And the Adva Center, this is just to so people understand. You're not going to know who the Advent Center is or even what Globes is. But nonetheless, Israelis do. Now, here is a statistic that you can like or dislike, but this is accurate. This year, the average salary of a CEO, an Israeli CEO, is equivalent to the 12... Okay, let's put it another way. The average salary, salaried person, the national average, would have to work 12 years and 1 month to earn the salary of a CEO in Israel. Now, that's, of course, a lot of time to earn one salary, but what's really, really upsetting is this jump has been 2.5%, it's been a 2.5-fold jump in 2 years. Something is being done to the Israeli economy. It's being done now. And now here is the statistic that maybe you can relate to. The number of poor employees, that is people who show up in the morning and work for corporations, is now 36.7% have fallen into the poor employees, into the poverty rate. They're now poor Israelis working for a living, 36.7%. What happened to Israel when a CEO might have had three times the salary, four times, but certainly not 12.1 times the salary of the average worker? And the average worker, 36% of them, earning a corporation standard for whatever you do, is now in the poverty zone. But it gets worse. Now here is the incredible statistic. At the end of this year, in just 1 week, you are going to find that the average Israeli wage fell 3.1%. Now even in America, where I think you are in a recession right now, and there's a lot of trouble, and they adjust things to inflation, your salaries still don't fall. This is the actual wage before inflation is going to fall 3.1% this year. And then it gets even worse, the number of poor. But here's what happens when you're poor in Israel. 68% of that class, and remember, they're 36% of the paid employees of the corporations are in the impoverished region. 68% had their major utility, either electricity, phone, or water, cut off this year. 68% of them. And 41% faced court challenges for not paying their bills. That is a 25% jump in 1 year. In 1 year, it jumped 25%, whereas in 2 years, the average CEO's salary jumped 2.5-fold. There is something being done to Israel to discourage the whole population. And this is extremely serious when people can't afford even their electric bills now. Even when you're working for a corporation, you can't even pay your electric bills. Now, I've spoken to you about the teacher strike that's gone on for 6 months. The person in the government, the Minister of Education, is someone named Yuli Tamir. She was a founder of something called Peace Now. The pro-peace, incredibly radical, pro-Oslo Peace Now was in charge of the ministry that negotiated with the teachers. This is all I can say, these are psychological operations, psyops. If you want to get the Israeli people not to care what the government is doing. You don't send the kids to school and make it impossible for them to pay the monthly electrical bill. All of this is happening in Israel. Dr. Stan, am I describing it properly?
I think you're doing a fine job. What you're saying, basically, Barry, is that they're playing games with the minds of the people. They're not making as much as they used to. If you don't have electricity or don't have natural gas or things like that, you begin to see your living standards going down. This has a tremendous psychological impact on people. And I think that they're preparing the people for the worst. And of course, when you're discouraged, when you have this feeling of hopelessness, why, you probably will accept anything the government's going to do to you. And I'm sure they're going to do terrible things there, just as they're going to do terrible things right here in America. Well, Barry, right now you have 3 minutes.
Oh, boy. Well, I had another show, which I was planning, by the way, and that's about Natan Sharansky. He's the most famous Russian hero. And I'm going to do it, not tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning we'll talk space again, but I'll do it next week. The politician running the campaign to save Jerusalem from division is Natan Sharansky. I met and interviewed Yuli Noodleman, who was once the chief physician of Ramban Hospital in Israel, a very, very a dedicated and respected man and doctor who wrote a book called Sharansky Unmasked. And he was a Russian prisoner of Zion during the 70s, and he knew all the politics. Sharansky, and we'll go into the details soon, and you'll be receiving my book shortly, and you'll read about Sharansky. He said to me outright, Sharansky was nothing but a filthy little snitch working for the KGB. And remember, Sharansky was exchanged in a spy exchange. He came to Israel because America gave up a Soviet spy. And the Bush administration, of course, just simply loves Natan Sharansky, and he is the politician running the United Jerusalem Fund, the fund to save Jerusalem. He was the only politician of from the centrist parties who backed the Gush Katif settlers. He is undoubtedly up to deep, deep mischief over Jerusalem, and he's got to be stopped. And I'll talk about that if you give me a chance next week.
Oh, we'll plan on doing that at that time. And, of course, what you're really describing is what we've said so many times. They like to control the opposition. You control the opposition. There is no effective opposition. We see that here in the United States, where you have your right, your left, your Democrats, your Republicans, your conservatives, your liberals, your pro-war people, your anti-war people. And it's all a scam because they control both sides. Sounds like they're doing that with Sharansky and what they have planned for Jerusalem. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, fine.
Before I part, ask your listeners, who filmed Neil Armstrong coming down the ladder?
Well, there are a lot of unanswered questions, Barry, and that's what we do here. We don't have all the answers, but we have the questions, and we want people to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. Good night, God bless, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
You got it. Night all.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out 5 hours every day all across America. Certainly trying to educate the American people. Now, you can hear our programs on the Internet, and if you have access to the Internet, it's RadioLiberty.com. You can hear the programs live in the from 3 to 5 Pacific time and 8 to 11 Pacific time, 4 hours a day. You can listen at RadioLiberty.com. You can also listen to the programs delayed there, and you can listen to our MP3 files. They're all up there. We don't charge you anything for it. course, we do hope that you water, of course, if you can, to help us. If you can get some of the products we talk about or join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's the bulwark, that's the foundation of what we do. And then, of course, if you go to our website, you can not only hear our programs, you can see our DVDs, and there are lots of great DVDs up there. We have posted, you can see, you can read our newsletters. And let me suggest that we have the newsletters. You're welcome to pull them down and copy them. And you can copy anything that we've made and duplicate it and get it out. We put a lot of the things into pamphlets. Foreknowledge 911 tells you what really happened on 911. We have a pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy. We have a wonderful new pamphlet on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. The Communist-Capitalist Alliance, which hopefully will convince you that the idea that there's a battle between communism and capitalism is a lot of falderal. Oh, yes, a lot of American boys have fought in no-win wars in Korea and no-win wars in Vietnam, but they were no-win wars, and it was all make-believe. The KGB controls the Russian government. Putin comes from the KGB. The CIA plays an important part in controlling our government. And remember, the CIA works behind the scenes. They have their people planted in our media. They actually kill people who get out of line, as they killed John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And, of course, the CIA ran the war in Vietnam. It's running the war over in Iraq as well. Understand that the CIA works in conjunction with the KGB. I had an interview with Gunther Rusbacher, who is highly worked, highly placed in the CIA, and he told me that the CIA and the KGB work together. In fact, as we talked, I said, that sounds to me like the story of the Brotherhood of the Rose. And he looked at me and he said, that's my story. In fact, if you get the book, you'll find it's dedicated to me. Well, of course, I'm always very skeptical. I ran down the next day and I bought a copy of the Brotherhood of the Rose. And who was it dedicated to? A special dedication to Rush. That was not made up. It was real. And, of course, that book will tell you how the KGB and the CIA at the upper echelons worked very closely together. But we can't tell the boys who go off overseas to fight communism and think that they're protecting America. They're loyal Americans, but they do not understand that behind everything are powerful spiritual forces, which is why you need to get the material available from Radio Liberty on the occult hierarchy. You need, of course, to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to see my talk on the forbidden secret, the secret that has been passed down for 5,000 years, but through secret societies, and, of course, a secret that has been known to many of the great philosophers and political leaders of the past, people who've got great power and great wealth, but, of course, at a terrible, terrible price. You need to see our videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Deals with the music industry, but believe me, it goes on in politics and it goes on in corporations. If you want to get ahead, you need to know the secret, but we advise you never to use it. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.